Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Cavs going for win number 13 tonight. I believe we've crossed the double digit threshold
of what
for this game. I think before the Paul George news, I knew Embiid wasn't going to play today. That we've known, but before the Paul George news, I believe it was 10.5 point favorites were the Cavaliers. I would not be surprised if they were in the. I mean, I know Tyrese Maxey's playing. I would not be surprised if they were in the realm of like 12.5 point, 13 point favorites in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still looking at around 9.5. I'm sure moved. I'm sure it's moved more. I don't have a live line on it though, but yeah.
Maybe they knew about the Paul George thing first, but because I didn't. That wasn't announced till today. That's the first time I heard the Paul George part of it.
Right, but I believe that was. I think it was early enough. I don't think it shocked anybody. Let's put it that way.
But yeah, this would be one of those games where it would, in a way, because they've won the first 12. This is like the Charlotte game that I pitched on Sunday. It would be mildly humorous if you lost this game. If Tyrese Maxey just went for like 60 and you just had a game where everybody kind of looked at each other like, who knew?
I love how you care about the record so much, but then you're also like, well, okay.
No, George.
If this thing's gonna end, if it ends in a funny way, then it ends in a funny way.
If it ends prematurely, like if we get to 18 it ends like that, I'll be pissed. But if right now
12, we're still in good spirits.
Yeah, we're still in good spirits. Where it'll be like the expectations again. I think start once you get to 16-0, because then you will have beat Boston. Then it's going to feel real to a lot more people. Like when you come to my side on it.
Yeah, I'm not coming to your side on it.
Listen, I got you on the NBA Cup now with the Cup date earlier. Like you've never been more
big
in
NBA
on the Cup.
Cup guy.
You've been, but because
people
I gave
know
you the
that
Cup
about
date.
Me for now. Now I can say years with an S. Yep. I'm a big NBA Cup guy. Yep. Always have been.
But it peaked with the Cup date at 3:40 today, which we're going to listen to on the free Odyssey app. And now this is the beginning of your journey. And while the Cavs are still very early in their journey. Darius Garland, and this was after the Nets game, right? This was part
yeah,
of his
this was Saturday night. Yeah.
His verbose post game, both on and off the air,
which is really funny when you hear people that don't typically get this way get this way.
Yeah, like Darius is pretty like he's not like emo, but he's just
he's not emo, but I know what you're saying.
But he's just kind of like a really chill dude,
very chill.
So to hear him,
just kind of goes with the flow.
So on FanDuel Sports Network, Cleveland, Darius made these comments after the Nets win and moving to 11-0.
That was a big win. That was a good win. I mean, we know how hard it is to win this league, and now 11-0, we're the hunted. We're not the hunters no more, so everybody's trying to come get that first sale for us. We just got to stay with it. Everybody got to be ready when their number's called. Everybody got to come be ready to compete at a high level, and that's what we did for 48 minutes tonight.
Am I riding the fence if I give you a conditional answer on whether the Cavs are the hunted or the hunter?
I'll allow it.
All right. I think for teams like the Nets, who are booty cheeks, I think the Cavs are one of the hunted. I think for teams that you want to beat, like let's say, I don't know, the Celtics, I think you're still the hunter.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't feel like the Celtics are scared shaking in their boots at all with the Cavs. They're just not. And that's okay. That's fine. We got to establish a spot where the Cavs can get to the rest of the league and understand that they actually are scared of us. But even a team like the 76ers, if they had Embiid, George, and Maxey on the court, they're not scared of the Cavs. They're not right now.
Yeah, and it's so funny because I do think that extends to the Giannises of the world and the Dames of the world. Like, It's so funny because right now everybody's going along with, well, the Celtics and the Cavs. Even Danny Green was like, no, I think this is who the East is going to be.
He said Eastern Conference Finals. He put it right out there.
Well, and he also said he thought like a team like Milwaukee or a team like, I don't think he said New York. Who was the other team in the East that he said that they could be like the 7 or 8 seed and that could be like the worst possible thing for you. And so it's like, but I don't think anybody told the Bucks that. You know what I mean? Like, in fairness, that first Bucks game felt like a playoff game because both teams really wanted that game. The second one, Giannis was out, and I mean, Dame had a really good game, and it was a little closer than we thought.
The first one, Giannis and Dame combined for 75 points.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like everyone was going back and forth. They didn't have Middleton or anything like that either, but it didn't really matter from that perspective. And then game two, no Giannis, it just took the juice out of it.
So I want the Cavs to keep this edge. But I also want to say, like, you're not the hunted yet across the board. Like, every team, and this, we felt this with LeBron. This is maybe the best way to put it. When we had LeBron, every night somebody was giving you their best effort. And the same thing with Golden State, because there were two championship teams in the NBA and 28 other teams.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit more wide open in the NBA.
I don't think there's any teams in the West, by the way, that would fit this category right now.
How so?
Well, like there's a clear dominant number one in the East, right? It's Boston. They are the one that everyone is looking up at. I don't know that the West has a team like that right now. Denver has failed Jokic in a massive way. It's supposed to be Jokic right now. Denver's let him down in a big way. I don't look at Oklahoma City Thunder that way. I don't look at Dallas was in the finals last year. I guess they represented the West. I don't look at them that way. Phoenix, I don't look at them that way yet. Maybe they're going to get there. When you have the talent, you do. But
is it that there were more good teams in the West, maybe?
Yeah, but there's no clear-cut favorite that way. There's no team that you're looking up at where in the East, it's so obvious who everyone's looking up at.
I think with Boston, they're a fixed position. I think Boston is a team that every other team in the East, whatever the best effort they can give them that night, so you're going to suit your star up in that Boston game.
Hell yeah.
To beat them, and because of some misbegotten idea about playoff seeding, they got to get them because we gotta get that that tie and that the tiebreaker. That's what we got to get. I don't think the Cavs are doing that. I think tonight's the evidence. Like, I think Embiid and George not playing for this, if the Cavs were the hunted by the teams that you care about, I think those guys play if they're not, this game isn't used as rest, right? They rest him in the first half of back-to-back, not the second half.
I get that. Well, there's a couple things that play there, right? Obviously, Tuesdays are the NBA Cup, so they wanted to play on Tuesdays because that's just kind of the push and it is what it is. If it wasn't the NBA Cup on Tuesday, would Embiid and everyone else and Paul George and Maxie and all these guys, would they have said, we're saving ourselves to take on the Cavs because that's the best work that we can get in?
I would imagine. No, I don't think so.
I don't think they would. Yeah, I don't think they would at all. I think they're just kind of letting the schedule play out. But I think that's part of what the current East landscape is right now. I mean, it just doesn't seem like Embiid is caring at all about the regular season. Doesn't seem like as much of a panic as they're having in Milwaukee right now. They're not fretting about what's going on in the moment. Even New York, Tibbs loses his mind over everything. They lost that Pacers game a couple days ago, and Tibbs tried to light him up afterwards, and it was just met with a shrug. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. I wish it was different. It just really isn't.
But I do think that this, to me, this is the dangling carrot. Like, it's the only part of we're the hunted, not the hunter that I don't love is, like, I really want the Cavs to lean into the fact that nobody's giving them the respect. Every time, I mean, Danny Green said it to some effect. Every time somebody talks about this team, they're like,
we're not being looked at as the juggernaut that the stats would indicate we are in the first 12 games. And the way of seeing this team play would indicate that we are. Like, if you were to just blind resume, put a team out there and say top 5 defense in the NBA, and right now what is the second best offense in NBA history, you'd be like, who is this team? They're going to win 75 games.
Well, and because of that, like, that's, I'd rather you have the hunter mentality. Like, that is, like, because again, if you're hunted, maybe you do take the foot off the gas at some point.
Yeah, but can we get to a spot where the rest of the NBA looks at Donovan and looks at Evan Mobley the way that we right now look at Giannis and all these other guys? And I don't know that we can because those guys have MVPs to their name.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think if the Cavs won, what's like a ridiculous win total that before the season you never would have thought that they could accomplish?
65 wins.
Okay, that somehow telepathy, that's where I was. If they get to 65 regular season wins and they get the number one seed in the East, even though there will still be an element of people saying, prove it to me in the playoffs, I think that is the kind of bar where, what was the win total was 49.5 going into the season? 50?
It was around there, yeah.
So you will have overshot your win total by 15-plus wins without a Giannis, without a Jason Tatum, without a Jaylen Brown.
I know. I just wonder if everyone's going to look at us as a bunch of gym class heroes, you know, well, a bunch of tryhards, and be like, of course they won, because that's like, how do we frame it where maybe, just maybe, we have the 0-4 Pistons, where it's a collection of talent instead of just one awesome guy, two awesome guys playing together?
I think you never show weakness in the regular season. Like, you never have more than a 3-game dip, right?
I don't know that it's attainable during this regular season.
So
it might be in future ones, but I don't know if it's this one.
So I don't think it's fully attainable. But do I think it's partially attainable? Do I think you can put the NBA on notice by being a 65-win regular season? Yeah. But the other half is then you got to go follow through in the playoffs. So it can't be done in totality. But that shouldn't dissuade this team of trying to do some of that work in the regular season.
Well, yeah, and I mean, clearly. I mean, I like that Darius has that mentality. Darius does not see the way that we see it right now. Darius thinks, and saying the way he did, maybe he was riding a high off of a game like that, but Darius clearly believes that everyone looks at him the way that you look at the Celtics when they come in town.
And again, I want them thinking he's a hunter. Just for the record, just like, let's get back to the hunter thing. Because I do think if you think you've gotten something, if you've accomplished something, no, you got a top four finish, a top five finish, and one playoff series victory in 2 years.
Oh, that's an interesting point, though. Like, do you feel like they believe they've already accomplished something by just starting off the season 12-0?
I mean, that would be my concern. Yeah. And again, it was one comment. It was in the moment. It's an emotional thing.
Yeah, he was riding a high.
But I think if my concern bears fruit, it's going to be in a couple inexcusable losses. 216-474-0092. Are the Cavs the hunter, or have they graduated to the hunted and the lone bad trade holdover from the JB Bickerstaff era that we still have to exercise? Next on 92.3 The Fan. Something that Kenny Atkinson and Darius Garland went into, I believe this was after Monday's game. I really like this. Because one of the very few points that you can look at and maybe nitpick is how the Cavs are playing in the third quarter and how they come out of halftime. And that is something that ties back to JB Bickerstaff. Kenny Atkinson and Darius Garland weighing in on this. I think this was 2 days ago.
I don't know what our third quarter stats say. I think that's our next hurdle. Obviously, last night was not a good one. I know this team has struggled in the third quarter. It seems to me the great teams are third quarter teams, too. So we got to do a better job coming out of the locker room.
Third quarter, I think we just came out lackadaisical. And that's something to fix, especially to take that next step. We have to be a good second half team as well.
Another bad third quarter. That's you're going to say, man, you're 11-0, relax. But it's like, if I was going to be nitpicky, you know, the third quarters are important. That's two nights in a row. A little bit of a concern. It's something we got to look at.
So I think it's totally valid, because that is the thing. Like, I'm watching them this year. There are multiple times where I've seen in the third quarter, they just look like a shell of themselves. And again, like, in the end, you've got 70 games to work it out. But do I think that could be the thing that cost you your winning streak to start the season? Yeah, I kind of think it will be the thing.
So there's a couple interesting things off of this. One, obviously, it was very apparent in the Bulls game that the third quarter was just an absolute stinker. I mean, that's where you gave up multiple near double-digit leads, and then you were about to leave the third quarter. If not for that 19-9 run, you would have been down double digits yourself. But I looked at it really quickly, and they're about middle of the pack right now for 2024 in the third quarter as far as scoring is concerned. Did you know where they were in 2023 for third quarter scoring?
Where's that?
They were fifth to last in the NBA. Hmm. Like, so, you know, like, I know Atkinson is mad at himself right now, and I get it, and he's focusing on it. And the last three, by the way, last three games, they've been a miserable third quarter team, but last year, like, this is an actual improvement over what JB Bickerstaff did last season in the third quarter relative to scoring.
So do you think it's just nitpicking?
I think that's what it is. I think he's at a point where, like, let's say a couple years from now, we have this show really humming, ratings are through the roof, everything is going great, and we're like,
of course,
well,
that's what's
going to
happen.
Well, we gotta find something to go ahead and yell about, right? Like, we can't just tell them we think the show is awesome and great.
Yeah,
you gotta find something. I think that's what it is.
You start screaming at the producer, maybe.
That's always the answer. Yeah. I do wonder if he also wanted people like me to dive into the numbers a little bit and then be like, oh, You did that thing in the interview where they're like, tell me your weaknesses, and then you just give him a bunch of strengths. Like, oh, if you really dive into it, he's actually 11 spots better than what JB was last year at it.
I like the idea. I don't think Kenny Atkinson's that deep. That's the only part
of this. You know I'm a very deep person when it comes to this stuff, and so I think things maybe like seven times more than anyone needs to. But
I mean, I would be so impressed if he's like, I know Nick and Jonathan, and I'm going to go ahead and make sure they find a way.
Right, like somebody's going to do the research.
A backdoor way to pay me a great compliment here.
Somebody's going to fact check whether or not I'm on the money with this or not.
I think because it's happened a lot more recently, I think that's the trend we should pay attention to. And listen, if they button it up tonight and they're great in the third quarter, and then they, you know, are great this Friday, and then on, if it doesn't rear its head, then you're right. It's just a momentary trend. But I think it's worth keeping an eye on, because that's exactly how you lose to teams that you shouldn't lose to. And there's a swath of them coming up between now and the Celtics game. So
for sure.
216-474-0092. Is it just nitpicking by Kenny Atkinson? That is what great coaches do. They never let a team feel themselves to the specific degree of thinking they're that great.
Well, I also think that's just how, like, really exceptional humans are in general, right? Like, nothing is perfect, nothing is great. They got to consistently be tinkering with things, and sometimes you can tinker too much, too. You know, sometimes
tinker damn too much.
You put too much of an emphasis on that third quarter, and all of a sudden your second quarter is struggling, and you're like, all right, what happened?
People are like, that Nick Wilson, he tinkers a bit too much.
Big tinkerer.
I'm like, you know what? I apologize for nothing. We are going to go ahead and get to...
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bandwagons with Mac Robinson right now. Magic Mac.
Hello, guys. So we're going to start off in the NFL. Right,
that was a very announcery intro. Hello, guys.
Hello, sports fan.
I'm off the Mac Robinson radio voice thing. I'm off that bandwagon. Just so we're clear.
I'm on it. Flex on your voice that the radio gods gave you. Bring it out as often as you possibly can.
You should have called him King. And flex on that voice, King. I think that's how that's supposed to go if you were truly on the bandwagon.
In the audio world, having a deep radio voice is the equivalent of being on TV and being like Zac Efron. Like, why would you diminish that?
So people say about my voice all the time.
Think Zac Efron makes himself uglier on purpose? No. You got the voice, go for the voice.
Mac, now that we've picked on you, give us our first four bandwagons here.
So earlier today was announced that Joe Flacco will be benched in favor of Anthony Richardson, who regains the starting job in Indianapolis after Flacco threw for 272 yards, two touchdowns, three ugly interceptions on Sunday against Buffalo at home. So, guys, are you back on the Anthony Richardson bandwagon?
I'm not. I love the idea that he was basically a combine darling. He set vertical records. He set all sorts of different athletic records at the combine. You pulled the string on him too early. I think you can't then try to make it right. I don't think it's going to work. I think his confidence is dinged. I just don't love that he took himself out of that play. I know that it was very bothersome to people in Indy. It's bothersome to me as well. I am off right now on the bandwagon.
I do love a good buy low solution. I do. I love when you're like, hey, this stock couldn't go any lower. It's going to rebound, even if marginally, and then I'll sell it off. You can tell I don't do the stock market. But no, I'm off. I just am. I'm at least off in Indy, right? Because maybe he goes somewhere else, fair. Fresh start. Maybe he's got to sit for a while. Maybe the Trey Lance, but this one actually works out. He does have. I mean, you watch enough of his game. There's four or five plays per game that you're like, whoa, how you can do that? The problem is the other 50 plays a game that he has to deal with.
I worry about him going somewhere else, though, because Shane Steichen is, he was the offensive coordinator for the Eagles when they went to the Super Bowl. When Jalen Hurts was at his best, it was Shane Steichen.
You think Kevin Stefanski's better than Shane Steichen?
I do, but I think they're very similar people in many respects.
All right, what's next, Mac?
So to go to another young quarterback that was benched and brought back in, Bryce Young won his second straight game in Carolina over in Germany on Sunday morning. And so now with a win streak with Carolina, Bryce Young will be the opening day starting quarterback for Carolina next season.
Okay, so I'm on that bandwagon because there's just no better choice. Like that, like you almost are better to give Bryce a third year and fail and then fire Canales and maybe make a play at Arch Manning. That actually might be a better play because that team is far away.
Yeah, I'm off the bandwagon. I'll take the steaming pile of trash in the corner over Bryce Young starting week one. I want nothing to do with that. Please, you find any other option. I can go to the park and find people I'd take more interest in than Bryce Young now.
Bryce is better than Anthony Richardson.
No, thank you. I'm not on the Anthony Richardson bandwagon either.
Yeah, I'm just saying, comparatively.
It'd be different if I was like, Anthony Richardson has it, and then Bryce Young doesn't. They both don't have it.
I think this is less of Bryce Young and more of, because of the way he framed it, that's more where I'm at. Now, I do think it wouldn't make the way, I think it'd make some sense if you brought in a veteran to push him as opposed to sit behind him like Andy Dalton. But yeah, I mean, you're going to move on from Bryce so you can draft Shador Sanders, who people think is probably not a franchise quarterback. That doesn't seem like you get any closer to winning in Carolina.
Moving on to Thursday night football, which you will be able to listen to here on 92.3 The Fan. Tomorrow night as Washington, the Commanders travel to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. If the Eagles get the win, Nick Sirianni saved his job in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm jumping on the bandwagon. Yeah, I'm on it. I'm on it. I hate that I'm on it, but I'm on it. I can't believe he saved his job. But if he wins tomorrow night, he 100% saved his job, Nick.
So does this mean if he loses, he gets fired?
It does not mean that. It does not mean that. Right. It just means that I think it would actually stamp down the idea that Sirianni did enough. He somehow recovered from them starting 10-1 and just snowballing their season into the ground last year. And I thought it was like, it was a plane wreck is what it was. And you look around, you're like, there's nothing we can save here. There's no scrap we can get out of it. It's all just done. And somehow, some way, he's been able to get this thing back on the tracks. I have no idea how.
They've won 5 straight. And no one's told the national media, who keeps trying to fire a guy that's 7-2 and in first place in the division, there's no bandwagon to jump on. His job's not in danger today. He's going to get through the playoffs. The thing that will fire or hire him or save his job or, you know, not save his job is the playoffs. So they could win 12 games this year. They could actually win every game to the rest of the season if you don't get to the NFC title game. I don't know that you're bringing this guy back. And some of that is in the same way that I'm like, I like Kevin Stefanski, but ooh, look, a Mike Vrabel.
I mean, the talent is so high, and I think a lot of people are wondering if the talent is just so great that it's overcoming any coaching mistakes he has.
And do you know how Howie Roseman has lasted as long as Howie Roseman has? He scapegoated every coach. Doug Peters won a championship with Nick Foles, and then 3 years later was out. Howie Roseman is the Teflon Don because he just keeps pushing coaches in front of buses.
He has to, because remember, he got pushed in front of the bus by Chip Kelly years ago.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly took over the power, had all autonomy, and then Howie Roseman got relegated to a lesser role, and he's like, I'm not letting that happen ever again. He got the power back, and he's retained it, and now he's looked at as one of the best in the league.
I'm going to be the Howie Roseman afternoon drive, so watch out for that bus, friendo.
Oh, no.
Oh, he didn't tell you?
Oh, no. Nobody told me that was coming.
That is Bandwagons with Mac Robinson. Magic Mac, as he's known to some. Macaroni Bologna to others. Daryl Ryder joins us next. We'll get his thoughts on the Browns coming off this bye, the Saints game, the importance of it. Are the Browns still trying to win? 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.